Thank God. Well, we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith for a while, and we're going to go to step seven now. That's the final one, and it's know the authority in the name of Jesus. Know the authority in the name of Jesus. So we've been talking about these steps are things that we can get a hold of, that we can become aware of, that we can act on, that the Bible teaches that will help us to walk in the highest kind of faith. That as we get these things solid in our lives and we apply them. So if you have something solid in your life, that means you're going to apply it. It's not enough to sit here and hear it. While you may be blessed by that, while you may, you can be excited, your spirit can be lifted up, it's when we put it into practice in life that it becomes a reality to us, that it actually changes things. We're not just going through the motions. You can hear sermon after sermon after sermon and just feel like, well, I'm almost there. I'm almost ready to do it, but I'm not going to act on it yet. And you might not say it like that, but people do that with salvation all the time. And people will say, well, I'm just not ready to believe yet. Well, we may not believe or we may not be where we're going to be, but we can act on what we know today. And as you act and walk in the light that you have today, you will gain more. But if we sit and we can see something, but we say, well, I'm not going to act on that, then it becomes stagnant and darkness can come in. You know, if you won't act on what you know, and you refuse to act on what you know, then things become dark and they become muddied. And then a lot of times, if you're ever in a place where things have become really muddy and dark and they're not clear anymore, go back to the last time they were clear. And ask yourself, what was God telling me to do? How was He leading me? What was the direction I had? And then just go back and pick it up and say, okay, I'm going to go back and pick it up, because I've experienced that in my life. You'll be going down a road, you'll be going down a path, and it just seems like things are clear, and you're excited about going in a certain direction, and then for whatever reason, you decide I'm not, and I'm going to go over here. Maybe it's a distraction, maybe it's something that came up at work or in your family, and you get just kind of lost sight of some things, and you started going down this other direction, and then things become muddy. Or even, you know, you're trying to make a decision, and you have peace about certain where you've walked to that point, and then you say, well, I'm going to start going in this direction, and now it starts getting cloudy. Well, back up. Don't get in a hurry. Just back up to where it was clear and say, okay, I know I felt peace back here. I know it was clear back here. Now I'm going to go forward from here. God, show me where I'm supposed to be. Now, don't confuse it with things. You can feel external pressure, and you can feel circumstances that are pushing in on you. That's not the same as things being cloudy and dark. You can have pressure, and things look like, if somebody looked at you and your circumstances look like everything's not going right, but inside, you know you're in the right place, you're clear, you're strengthened in faith, and inside, you're pushing forward. That's not the same as things being muddy. On the other hand, everything could look really good to somebody on the outside, but inside you're muddy, you're clear, you don't know, you're not excited about life, you don't know where exactly you're going, you don't have a zeal. Back up. Just back up. Don't go, oh gosh, I'm in a corner, I'll never get out. That's the devil speaking. He'll tell you you've blown it. If you've ever been at a place with God, you can always get back to that place. If you've been there, you just have to back up, start doing what you know to do, start walking in the light that you have now. Well, I don't know everything. Well, join the club. None of us know everything. Just know, just act on what you know now. What do you know? Well, I know Jesus is my Savior. Okay, that's a good place to start. If you know you ought to praise God, then don't go walking around like the world's falling apart. You may feel like it, but if you know what? I need to praise God, then start praising God. I thank God for what you do know. Thank God for that Jesus is Lord. Thank God that He is your Savior. Thank God that you're not going to hell. And you'll be amazed that as you start acting on what you do know, light will come, because you're acting on truth. And then it'll become clear, okay, yeah, I just lost sight of some things here. This is where I'm supposed to act on. I'm going to act on this now. Just act on it. Just act on what you know. And you'll be amazed at how stuff will line up. Stuff will open up to you. And things will become clear when we just act on what God's told us to do. It's when we start sticking our heels in the ground, unknowingly or unknowingly, we start dragging our heels. And it's easy to get distracted in this earth. It's just an abundance of distractions that'll try to pull you off and try to get you off God's plan. But all you have to do is just get back to where you know that you are doing what He has called you to do, know that you have peace, and then just start going from there step by step. He's not in a hurry. Did you hear me? He's not in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. You may think, man, it's taken 2 years, and He's been around forever. Your 2 years is nothing. He said, what? I blinked. What did you say? You're taking a long time here? This has taken a long time? It's not taking a long time, and He's not in a hurry. He's patient, and He's patient with us growing. And sometimes we're not patient enough with ourselves. We see ourselves, and we just think, good night, when are you going to get it? Just stay with God. Just stay with it, the truth. You're going to get it. You'll get what you're supposed to get if you just stay with Him. He's looking on your heart. So if your heart is pure, your heart's toward Him, just because you stumble a few times, just get back up and start going on with Him, and you'll get there. You'll walk in more truth in a year from now than you are now. And you'll walk in more truth 5 years now from now than you are now. And that's the way it is. We all start at different levels. We all, just for whatever reason, we don't have to. I'm not saying it's preordained, but you grow different levels. You end up different places. The bottom line is you want to walk your walk with God, run your race with Him, go where He's told you to go, and do your best to stay in the light that you have. So as we've been talking about these things, We're just getting ourselves steady and solid in these different areas, and you know we've taken different amounts of time on each of them. But you know, when you hear something, and then you hear it again, and then you hear it again, over time it gets settled in you. So many times we're in such a hurry that you know some people pick up a book and read it from front to back and be so, I've read that, I know that. Well, you probably missed 90% of what's in there. You don't get any points for, unless you're in a book club or something, you know, for having read it, I should say. You know, like if you're in, you know, kids or if you read so many pages or so many minutes with your parents or whatever, well, then you might get a check mark or a sticker or whatever. Well, in the game, in life, you don't get any points for just having read something or having listened to the sermon or whatever. That doesn't get you any points. Is what did you actually get out of it? And what are you actually applying? You know, wouldn't it be silly? But people do it all the time. You know, go pay thousands of dollars for a class. You know, anybody ever taken some training at work where you go and you pay for an advanced class and sit there, space out the whole time, get done, pay thousands of dollars, literally, you know, for a few days or a week of training, leave and say, well, I completed that. Go back to your boss. I'm done. I got through it. Well, what'd you learn? I didn't learn anything, but I sat through it. I'm good. What did I just waste all that money for? And how are you going to help on the job? How did that affect your life? Well, I don't know, but I completed. I have a certificate. Do you want to see it? It says completed. I printed it out on the laser printer. Okay? Some people are like that with the things of God. Well, I've listened to this and this, and I've heard this teacher speak on that, and I way back into the 70s or the whatever, 80s, you know, 90s, I've listened to this person for this long. Okay, great. Has it affected your life at all? You know, if it hasn't affected your life, then okay, get the sticker or the check mark that I've listened to this person, but did it affect you? Are you putting it into practice? That's what we want to know. And so when we're listening to these things, these are truths that will help us grow. They will help us in the actual battles of life, that when you have these things settled, they will actually help you to win. Because the devil will push on one area and he'll realize where you moved before. Well, now you're settled. You've heard it and you've heard it. And not just heard it, you're acting on it. So this pressure point that he used to push, and he used to just, you know, that's all it took. You'd go off for 2 weeks, you'd shut down, whatever. He pushes on that, and you don't move. And now he might push in another area, and that's where, you know, you used to go off. Now you're not moving on that either. And now another area, you're strengthened there. Like, well, the things we've been talking about, knowing the reality of our redemption in Christ and your relationship with the Father. And these different things that we've been talking about, they strengthen, so when the arrows come from the enemy to try to push you off, you're stronger there. You are actually, you know, you're further than you were before. In that area, in an actual, in the realm of life where it counts, you get pushed and you're like, no, no, I've learned some stuff. And you throw it back at him. With what? The Word? Truth. That's what we're talking about. You've filled in some gaps with truth. It's not just attaining something. Listen, well, I listened to it, so now I have faith. No, you've let yourself be changed, so your belief system has changed. So now when the enemy throws something at you meant to push you off, you have the counterattack, which is the Word of God, which are these truths. You put it back and say, but this is what the Word says. See, that's changed you. Your belief system's changed. Where you used to have no answer for it. It would hit you, and it would knock you against the wall and down, and you don't know what to do with it. And it may happen over and over and over. Every time you used to get in the same situation, the same thought, the same attack comes, somebody says the same thing, and you're out for the count. But you see, as you grow, you may have gotten knocked out, but you got up after 4 days. And then you get knocked out again the next time, but you got up after 3 days. And then it happens again, and you're knocked, you get up the same day. And then it happens again, you're out for maybe 2 hours, but you're up. You know, and you get hit again, and you're knocked out, you daze for like 5 minutes, but you get up and you're back in it. You get to the point where it knocks you, and you're like this for about 3 seconds, but you get back. And pretty soon, he hits you, and you're like, that's it, that's all you have? And what about this? And you give him another one back, right? So now that area is strong. Now, but you know what? He'll look for another area to say, oh, you got that. Now, you're all thinking you're good, and he hits you with this uppercut, and you're like, where did that come from? Well, now, you have to shore up something there. That's what's happening. Right now, you're getting girded up in these different areas, hopefully, over time, that they're getting strengthened, and it's not just, you don't go to the gym one day and say, I'm good. You know, you go back and you start getting strengthened to where you're in these different areas and these different things are getting shored up to where your faith is just getting like an oak coming up. It's just getting strong to where you push on it. It's not moving. That's where we want to be. And that's what's happening as we go through each of these areas. So you're ready to go to the next one. So know the authority in the name of Jesus. The authority you have in the name of Jesus is just as though some wealthy man gave you the power to use his name in an unlimited capacity. What effect would it have if he gave you a legal document? What if he said to use the legal document in order to supply every one of your needs? What if you could do anything you wanted to do in that man's name? God has given us the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. This means we have power in that name over satanic forces. We have been given this authority. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. I believe this will become more real to us than it ever has before. Philippians 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, verse 9. Everybody there? It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Turn over with me to Mark 16. That name is above every name. Even the people that mock the name of Jesus, they will bow to the name of Jesus. Every being will bow. Mark 16, verse 17. So let's read 15. It says in Mark 16, 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they, notice this, in my name, this is how this starts, in my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Notice how everything, how these things are going to happen. It says, in my name, they will do these things. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. In my name, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. This is just, it's separated by semicolons. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It's in the name of Jesus that we're doing this. We've been given authority on the earth to use this name. And that name is the most powerful name in the universe. Let's go over to John. In John 15, turn to John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Go over to John 14. It says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And look over at John 16, verse 23. It says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give unto you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So we see several verses just about the name of Jesus, and both used in prayer and then used directly. And we see that in the Acts. We see several examples where they use the name of Jesus and they command things to happen in the name of Jesus. When you're acting in His name, that's not like a tagline to a prayer that we just say. You're saying in the authority and in the person of Jesus, everything that He is and in the authority granted to you by Him, in that name you're praying. In other words, this is why you're coming. This is why you have the ability to ask or to demand of not of God, but of the devil. When you speak in the name of Jesus, you're speaking because of who Jesus is and who you are in relation to Him. It's not just a religious, it's become a religious tagline. And if you're not careful, it just becomes that in our lives. Well, in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. But what are we saying? We're saying this will be granted because I am praying in the highest, in the highest name in the universe. And that name has been granted to me to use. You see this in a few places in Acts. Let's go over to Acts 3. Acts 3, let's go to verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Verse 6 says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they use the name of Jesus. I want to read you one more in Acts 16. In Acts 16, let's read verse 16. So Acts 16, 16. Acts 16:16, it says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. So he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, he commanded her to come out. In the name of Jesus. So this name has been given us. We've been given authority to go into the earth and use that name to do the work of God. And we need to know the reality of that authority. And you can't just know it. I'm just going to go do it, you know, with your head. You have to know it with your heart. You have to believe it. It can't just be that, well, I'll just take that and run off with it. And people do that. They take it and they run off with it and they try to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. They try to use it promiscuously just on everybody, having no authority. So you have to know the name of Jesus is the highest name in the universe. But you don't have authority to go around in everybody's life and use it. No more than you have the authority in everybody's life just to go around and mess with their finances, or to come into their house without their permission, or to go and mess around with their yard or their kids or anything else. You guys hear me? Yep. See, people get the idea, well, I have the name of Jesus, I'm just going to go around and use it everywhere. I'm just going to set everybody free. Not everybody wants to be set free. You can't just go around using the name of Jesus just wherever you want. Just because Jesus has paid the price, just as he's given you the authority, that doesn't mean you have the legal right to go and use it in somebody else's life unless they give you permission. Unless they give you that right. It's just like natural things. If you were just to go, think about this. If you were just to drive up 28 and stop at somebody's house and go and just open their door and walk in and you don't know them, you can imagine the scenarios that would happen next, especially depending on how you opened the door and how you walked into their house. Because you don't know them. You know what they're like. They don't know you. You don't know. I mean, they could have children. They could be could have just gotten out of the shower and they're walking down to get something out of the kitchen. You don't know what the situation is, and you're just going to waltz into their house. But people will go down the road and just see somebody and go, in the name of Jesus, come out. What's the difference? You don't know them. You don't know what they, for all you know, they're a worshiper of Satan. And they don't want anything to do with you. Well, no, I could see they're bound. What if you saw somebody, their house up the road, and it needed something or whatever, or you thought they were in trouble? That doesn't give you the right to walk up to their house and open the door. Well, they needed it. It doesn't matter. You get arrested doing that. Well, yeah, but I'm just trying to do good. People get whacked in the head spiritually, and then they wonder why it doesn't work. Well, I don't know why that didn't work. You can't just use the name of Jesus everywhere. Otherwise, you could just God himself does not command everybody to get saved and just make them all bow the knee. I mean, people have a different idea of authority. We'd probably get into it a little bit. But they don't. People try to use authority where they don't have any authority, and then they wonder why it doesn't work. And then they think it's the Word's not working. No, the Word always works, but sometimes we don't understand everything about the Word. And then we get one little part of it, and we go off half-cocked and think it ought to work the way we think it ought to work. So we have to understand some things about it, but the thing we have to understand is that in our life, in your life, you have the name of Jesus, and you have authority in your life. You do not have to ask anybody to go in your house and open the front door and do whatever you want in your house. It's your house. You don't have to ask anybody to go do something in your finances. You can go do something really stupid, go buy something really dumb this weekend, and nobody's going to stop you. And as you're, you know, go buy something you don't have money for, go max out your credit cards, and nobody's going to stop you. And you can't say when the payments come, well, you know, somebody else did it for me. They'll go, are you saying this is fraud? Well, no. I went and bought it. Well, you went and bought it, so you did it. That's not the same as you going and putting something on somebody else's credit card. You may get put in jail for that too. Well, I wanted this. I'm going to go and use your money to do it. We see, we know this thing's in the natural. But it's like people cross a line when they get into spiritual things and they just stop thinking like that. They think, name of Jesus, we have it, therefore we can use it. You can't use it on somebody that doesn't want to be helped. You can't go, like someone said, people go and they think everybody ought to be healed with the name of Jesus. Whether they have anything to do with God or not. Well, we're just going to show and we're going to prove that God's word works. You're not called to prove that God's word works. You're not called to do that just to go and to try to prove it to somebody that maybe doesn't want to have anything to do with God. Now, there are signs and wonders to give, but it says signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. And so, yeah, things happen in certain conditions. But otherwise, you could just go up to one of the hospitals. You can go up to Lawrence Hospital here and just go in and just clear it out. Because you just walk right down in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, pull those tubes out. And, you know, within a few minutes, you're out of there. They're all healed and they're walking out and they're praising God. Go try it. People have tried it. Yeah, they will kick you out. Number one, you can't get in there. They're not going to let you just walk down. Why? Unless you're family or something, they don't want you in there. It's the same thing. You don't have authority to be there. Why do we think then we have authority spiritually just to go in and do whatever we want? You don't. Now, you have to understand some of this because then you understand how it does work and when, in your life and what God has given you. And when you understand that, you know it has to work. But if you think it just works hobnob everywhere, then you're not sure when it should work and not. That's like the same of being confused about how the law works. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know what I'm legally able to do and not illegal. I mean, you know, if I go and why doesn't it work when I go and try to withdraw money from this guy's bank account? I don't understand that. But when I do it for me, it'll work. I don't understand that. Well, you better figure out some things before you go and operate in this world. You know, there's all kinds of laws that operate in a certain way. And people, they throw all this stuff out when they're dealing with spiritual stuff. It's a lot like natural stuff. You own property, if you do, or you have legal right to the property that you rent. I can't go over there. Did you know I cannot come to your house and just open? I'm trespassing. But I can if I were to go over there and you open the door for me. Now I can go in. What if you gave me a key and said, look out for my cat or whatever. Cats, I guess, I don't have cats. You know, they guess they are on their own. Whatever, you know, feed my goldfish. Whatever. Would you please stop by and feed my goldfish when I'm gone? And so you gave me a key. Well, now I have the right to be there. Why? Because you have legal right to the property and you gave me a key. So I can go there. And if somebody tried to get on my case about it, I'd be like, yeah, I know the owner. He gave me a key. And if they tried to do anything funny, they would get a hold of who, you know, you, and you could sort it out. Doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. But if somebody's there at a place where they shouldn't be, then there's all kinds of laws against that. Now, if you think about these things, just with your natural, if you just think the natural, it'll make a lot of sense the way the spiritual world works because this all was created from the natural. So You think of the authority legally you have in your own life. And then you think about the people that are close to you. Now, husband and wife are as close as you can get legally. In a lot of cases, you know, if a marriage is done right, you know, people do other stuff, you know, separate bank accounts and different things. But, you know, if you are truly one, pretty much everything that's mine is yours and vice versa. We're married. That means we're partners. It means we go up, I go up, you go up. I go down, you go down. For better or for worse. Don't always like to see it happen. You know, we like it. People at the altar are all excited about it, and they'll say all the vows, and yes, for better or for worse, whatever, because it's always going to be better. I know that, because this guy's perfect, or this lady's perfect. It's always going up from here. I know that. So I'm so excited to get my vows out, and then when it actually, there's a bump or something, it's like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. Oh, no, go back and listen to yourself on the video. You actually said for better or for worse. And then people get whacked out with this, too, with, you know, faith and confession. Well, we're never having anything. Well, okay. It's not a bad confession. We're just saying whatever you're going through in life, you're going to be together. So you're joined. That means you have authority with your spouse. You have authority with your spouse that you don't have with somebody walking down the street. And then you go to your children. You have authority to do certain things with your children that if anybody else tried, they could be put in jail, including just picking them up from school. Somebody else tries to do that, they're going to call the cops and put an Amber Alert out. Right? But if something as simple as that, you have complete authority to do that, right? And you can grant somebody else authority to do it, can't you? I know at the school where my children go, if you send a note to the teacher and say, no, such and such is going to pick them up, they'll let you do it if they know it's coming. They'll let somebody else pick up your child. Mm-hmm. You're granting them authority to do it. But if somebody else tried that, you're going to get put in jail for it. It's kidnapping. I can't just go up and decide I'm going to pick that kid up. No, you would not want to even look like you're doing that, right? You don't even want to talk to people now because it's like if you're a stranger to the kid, you're trying to talk to it. You know, you can't even really be kind anymore because people flip out because you're a stranger. Well, I mean, I get it, but it's because we've had so much messed up stuff. You have a measure of authority with your brothers and sisters if you have siblings. You know, more, you could. Potentially, you have, you're in the family, so you're closer to them. You could have some authority there. Your parents, same thing. You have, if they're your parents, you have a measure of authority. Your family, you may inherit something. Or whatever, you have an ability to act there. It's the same thing spiritually. As you go out from there, you have less and less authority from that core. You have complete authority in your own life. In fact, nobody has more authority than you do. And nobody can trump you. If somebody said, well, you know, people grant other people authority to them, or grant other people authority over them without knowing it and act like, if somebody else said something about them, that it's going to come to pass. Well, that person said this about me. I just break it. Listen, if you say it, I don't care who says what about me. It's what I say is what's going to go. You can talk to your blue in the faith and say I'm going down or whatever, but you have no power over me. Somebody coming down the street has no power over me. You can try to curse me. Try to do whatever you want, but it is not going to work. The Bible says the curse causeless shall not alight. It won't come. You can't. So people get whacked out about well, the guy put a curse on me, or they won't say that, but that guy's saying something bad about me. Okay. That happens all over the world, all the time. And it's what, if you think it's going to hurt you and you start being afraid of it, now is where you're messing up. Now you're thinking you're giving them power. You're saying you're acting like what they say actually will hurt you, and now you're actually granting them power. That's where you get into trouble. See, the devil tries to get you to be afraid so that he can have power over you, and really, that's when you start acting and being afraid is when you actually give him power. If you just say, no, you don't have any power, he doesn't have any power. It's the same thing with other people. They don't have authority over you. You don't have authority over them. This will help a lot because people are confused about spiritual authority a lot of times. They think, why doesn't this work? And they'll come up and ask you to pray over all kinds of things, and somebody over, I mean, we get emails, you know, because we're a church, and they'll come in and say, I just got one today. You know, there's somebody over in some remote country, and this is happening, and we need to pray. And number one, they're confused. They're asking to pray and ask God that he'll break the power over such and such, which is completely not biblical, because God's not going to come in and break the power. He's already done it through Jesus, which we're going to talk about. They're asking you, I don't even know this person. They're saying this person is bound. And I could read you the email, but I'm not going to. This person that they know is bound with such and such a spirit, which I doubt it sounds suspect to me. I mean, the way they're even talking is probably not the case. They're bound with this, and we need to pray. Will you pray, you person in America of a church that I've never known, and asking somebody over there, will you pray so that this will break the power of the devil and this family will be set free? And they think that is going to work. And this variations of this happen all over. They're looking for, I don't know them. They don't know me. I have no idea what the history of that family is. I have no idea if that person is actually completely yielding to the devil all the time. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Me going and telling the devil to get out of their life when they want him there is worthless. The devil will look at you and laugh and say, tell me to get out. They want me here. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't know that. Unless the gifts of the Spirit are operating, I have no authority whatsoever in this person that is halfway around the world, and they don't know me. And the fact is, if they're Christian, they don't know that they're the ones that actually have authority. And I don't know if these people even have authority in this person's life. So they're asking me, who they don't know, who's very far removed, to do something about somebody that I don't even know if they have authority. It's so far removed, yet people think what they're really doing is looking for just something, some magic wand to wave and say, make my problems go away. They don't understand legality. They don't care about it necessarily. I'm not saying they won't care. They just don't understand it. They're not acting like it matters. And the devil is a legalist. Now, I'm going somewhere with this because you have to understand all this, because then when you know what actually has been done, it'll be like, this has to happen because this is the way it is. But you can't just go around and flip around the name of Jesus like everything should just happen the way you want it. It doesn't work that way. The devil is a legalist. He knows what his rights are. And if you try to go around and tread where you don't have any right, he doesn't have any, you don't have any right to do that, and he has no obligation to do anything you say. And he won't. You think he's just going to do it because he's having a good day? Seriously. Well, I'm going to leave that person because you said so, because I realize you just heard, you know, a recording on your authority, and just because of that, and I'm feeling like a good guy today, I'll leave this guy alone, even though you have no legal right. You really think that's going to happen? No, everybody's going to say no, but people act like it all the time. Like, this will happen because I really want it to happen. That's another thing. It doesn't matter if you really want it to happen. Doesn't matter if you need it to happen. It has nothing to do with that. The devil is wicked. And he's not going to move one inch unless he has to. He's going to destroy everywhere he can. And he's not going to do anything because you want it to happen or because you're sad, or because, you know, you've been hurting for so long, or I really love this family member and they ought to deserve better. The devil does not care. He's wicked. He's just going to be like, and he'll just keep destroying. Do you see this? Well, but I really love this person. Jesus, help me. Jesus has already done it. See, that's where our problem is. We're trying to get God to do something where he's already done it, and he's put it in our hands. Yeah, but I really want it, and I really feel sad about it, and I really, if God cared, he'd do that. God did care and does care. That's why he sent Jesus and already handed the key over to you, and you're saying, I can't use the key. Will you do it for me? This will answer a lot of questions, because the body of Christ, by and large, is whacked out about certain things, and they take truths and they make it just broadly applicable, and they just try to pray everything down like it should just happen all the time, everywhere, not understanding legalities, not understanding the way the world is. Just think, because I heard a sermon, because some guy on TV told me this would happen, it's just got to happen like a magic wand, and they don't understand that behind what is really going on, the devil is not going to give up one inch unless he has to. He will not move because of our emotion. He won't move because we really are excited about it. He won't move because of the tone of our voice, or because the volume of our voice, or if we look really mean or tough, or we dance around in circles. It has nothing to do with it. It's only what is legal and what is truth. And it doesn't matter if somebody thinks it's truth, if it's not truth. Well, I heard. That's why you can't go by what you hear, by what people preach, or so-and-so teaches this. So I'm going to do it too. That's not faith in the Word of God. That's faith in what somebody is saying. Now, it could absolutely be biblical, but you can't go by what somebody says and make it, because then you're going on their word. Well, I heard such and such did this, and so I'm going to do it. I'm going to go use that. I'm going to do what they did. That's a lot different than the Holy Spirit telling you to go do it. Amen? We are going somewhere, and we're going to get there. But we could cover the ground that we need to cover, because we're not just going to preach. We want to get settled. So we read a few scriptures. We're going to get into some things, but we need to understand that, yes, the name of Jesus has been given to us. Yes, he's told us to do things. And what we covered, you know, at least a little bit tonight, is there's a realm, there's a sphere of influence that we can use it in, but we'll get into, we'll just be led, but we'll get into this name more and what belongs to us, and go from there. Praise God.